Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Hello, Birmingham. This is Rick Hughes, and welcome to the newest radio talk show, The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, and I'm the host here today, and I want to introduce to you a special guest that's in Birmingham, a wonderful friend of mine. And you're going to have the privilege to get to know him and listen to some of his thoughts, things that motivate his life. His name is Ron Fash, and Ron is from the great state of Texas. He's an entrepreneur who took an idea, turned it into a profit. His product was so successful that he was able to retire at the age of 34. Ron and his wife and three children reside in Texas, where he spends his time now studying, being a father, enjoying his ranch. And I've had the privilege of going to his ranch, and it's a wonderful, beautiful place. He's currently the director of Operation Grace World Missions. Many people may say, well, what in the world is Operation Grace World Missions? Operation Grace World Missions was first incorporated in Houston, Texas, as an autonomous mission board during the year 1975. And his purpose was to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth by providing support for biblically-oriented and grace-oriented missionaries who are approved by that organization. The purpose of the organization has not changed since inception, and Operation Grace has functioned continually since that time. First missionary that ever received support back in 1975 was a man named Barton Browning, who worked in Guadalajara, Mexico as a missionary and translated biblical books into Spanish. Bart is still with Operation Grace and has been joined by others who continue to carry the good news of Christ around the world. Operation Grace simply provides operating funds as believers are motivated by their appreciation of the Word of God to contribute voluntarily to the dissemination of the gospel and Bible information. Operation Grace never solicits funds. However, they unabashedly solicit your prayers on behalf of those that they serve. So it's a great privilege to welcome Ron Fash to my show today. We're going to get to Ron here in just a minute and let Ron give us some of his thoughts and insights, the director of Operation Grace. But before he comes to talk to us, let me tell you a little bit about the concepts of the Flatline. The Flatline is an idea that God has put into my heart so that I might be able to come across the airwaves of Birmingham and give you some accurate information. My job is to give you information and to give you some motivation, even inspiration, but never to manipulate you. There will never be any manipulation on this radio show. This radio show is compliments of the grace of God. There'll be no request for money, no desire to raise finances, only the desire to give you biblically accurate information that will assist you in every area of your life. I believe that bad decisions limit future options, and if you make enough bad decisions, you don't have any options left. I grew up in the Birmingham area, in the Central City area, the hard part of Birmingham. Maybe you might remember that. It was the old housing projects that just got torn down recently, located near Phillips High School, down by the courthouse. That's where I spent the first 12 years of my life. And the entertainment for my life in those days was going to the Boys Club. Horace Peterson used to be the director of the Boys Club, and I would walk from my house on 8th Avenue North across from Felice's Food Center over to the Boys Club. I didn't have a father, never really knew my father. I grew up in a broken home, and my mother worked at a place called Moore Hanley Hardware to support us. They were rough years and rough times in my life as I went through the early stages of childhood. My mother, unable to watch over me and take care of me in those early days, would often farm me out to guardians who would take me into their home for a fee. And I would live with different guardians. And during those early 12 years, I went to 5 different grammar schools. And finally, we settled in an area called Woodlawn. Many of you Birmingham people know where that is. And I wound up graduating from a school called Kennedy Elementary in Woodlawn and went on to Woodlawn High School. My early days in Birmingham, I would spend at Cascade Plunge, a great swimming hole out in the eastern end of Birmingham. And there was a football coach out there who used to watch me swim, and since I was kind of a big kid, he would say, I want you to come out and play football when you get to Woodlawn High School. And eventually I did. That coach was a man named Johnny Howell. And Johnny Howell was the closest thing to a father that I ever had in my life during those days. He was a motivation and an inspiration for me. And as I would go out to Cascade and as Coach Howell would talk to me and he convinced me to come to Woodlawn and try out for the football team. And I eventually did. And while I was at Woodlawn during the years of 1960 through 63 and graduated in 1964, I was able to play football and even eventually make the high school All-American football team. Also was involved in track and field and set the state records and throwing the shot put and the discus at that time there at Woodlawn High School. University of Alabama signed me to a football scholarship, and I did go to the University of Alabama in 1964 and 65 as a freshman. The ironic thing is I signed with Florida before I ever signed with Alabama, but Florida had an entrance test called the SAT, Scholastic Aptitude Test, and I had to go to John Carroll High School to take that test. And while I was at John Carroll High School, many of you know where that is, I wasn't able to cheat. See, a lot of times in high school, I could cheat on a test and get away with it, but not on this one. And when the University of Florida found out my test results, they sent a letter back to Coach Howell and said, his athletic scholarship is denied due to his academic credibility. Well, that didn't go over too good with my coach, and he kind of let me have it. And I thought it was the end of the world, but he motivated me to get with it, to go to my teachers and to talk to my teachers and get my grades up where they should be, and I did. And eventually, by the end of my senior year, my grades were back up, and I took the ACT test and passed, got accepted. And that's when the University of Alabama offered me a scholarship. When I first went to the University of Alabama in 1964 in August, I was a freshman. I'd spent my time in high school proving how bad and how tough I was, and I got down there and I found out I wasn't very bad and I wasn't very tough. There were a lot of great football players there. I came in as a freshman with a guy named Ken Stabler. Of course, Kenny, you know, went on to make All-American at Alabama and eventually to lead the Oakland Raiders to the Super Bowl championship. The varsity quarterback when I was a freshman at Alabama was the great Joe Namath, Broadway Joe. And you know Broadway Joe's legacy here in the Birmingham area. Sophomore linebacker, Jackie Sherrill. Head football coach, Paul Bear Bryant. Of course, I didn't think Coach Bryant even knew my name, much less knew who I was. And it was an interesting time to be at the University of Alabama because as a freshman in the 1964 season, we won the national championship. However, in those days, the football players that were freshmen were not allowed to play with the varsity. And so it was we had to practice every day against the varsity, but we couldn't play on the varsity. So we played a freshman football schedule. After a year at the University of Alabama, I got a job that summer. One of the alumni said, son, we know you're going to be a great football player, so we're going to get you a job and we're going to let you make some money, and didn't have much money, so I thought that was a great idea. And the end result was make a lot of money, bought a fast car, and did not, and I repeat, I did not go back to University of Alabama for my sophomore year. It was the dumbest decision that I ever made. You know, arrogant people never see themselves as they really are. They only see themselves as they think they are. And I thought I knew the answers. I thought I knew everything to success in my life. And in those days, all it really took was a fast car, a good-looking girl, and a nice place to live, and I thought I was happy. I was young and dumb, like so many are even today. The end result of that was I spent 3 years in frustration, what I sometimes call Operation Boomerang. You know, the Aborigines have a weapon called a boomerang, and they throw it in Australia, and if they miss the target, it comes back, and they can throw it again. Well, I boomeranged. My frustration, my self-pity, my arrogance boomeranged into greater misery after walking away from that scholarship and the free education. And it wasn't until 1967 when I met a young girl from the Birmingham area named Jane Parker. And Jane took me to church. And it was that night at church after the church was over that I went to a Bible study. And I met a man named Winston Kennedy who was teaching a Bible study in the Birmingham area. And that was the night that I believed in Jesus Christ. I had never considered the claims of God in my life. I never went to church. I didn't have a father that took me to church. My mother never took me to church. And really, quite frankly, I thought church was just a place for old ladies and sissies. The only time I ever went to church in high school was when the center on our football team died in an accident, and we had to go to First Baptist Church at Avondale for the funeral. Scared me to death. But that night at that home in 1967, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it was not a very spectacular event. I simply got on my knees and prayed, and and I asked God to save me. And he did it. I went back and told my roommate what had happened, and of course he obviously thought I'd been drinking too much again, and eventually he found out that I wasn't, that it was the real deal. God had indeed changed my life. I can't explain how it happened or the miracle that was involved, but that simple prayer that night, telling God the Father that I was believing in Jesus Christ, transformed and changed my whole life. I had a lot of decisions to make, and as the changes took place, they happened rapidly. One of the first decisions I had to make was about school and college, and I went back to the University of Alabama and talked to Coach Sam Bailey and found out that I had some eligibility left, but instead of going back to Alabama, I enrolled at Southeastern Bible College here in the Birmingham area. The president at that time was Alden Gannett and later Mr. Sumner Wimp. While I was in Bible college at Southeastern Bible College, we formed an organization called Teen Crusades. I worked also with the Greater Birmingham Youth for Christ organization, which later became Campus Life. And as a result, I began to speak in high schools. One of the first high schools that I ever spoke in was Banks High School in Birmingham, Alabama. And at Banks High School, that fateful day in 1969, I stood in front of all of those kids scared to death. And I never knew that that is what was about to happen for the rest of my entire life. For the last 37 years, I've been speaking to students across the greater United States and telling them how Jesus Christ changed my life. There have been a lot of changes in schools, and a lot of schools we're not able to speak in anymore, but a lot of private schools, the doors are still open. And so I'll tell you more about this in the future. I'll tell you more about my life. I'll tell you more about the things that I do. And there's a lot of information that I want to give you that I think is solid and sound biblical information. As I said, we want to give you some inspiration, some information, but never any manipulation. And so I want you to stay tuned with us week after week. We've committed to do this for the next few weeks, and I hope that it's going to be a challenge to you. I hope we're going to be able to give you accurate content, because that's all that I'm about, is accurate content. I'm not about playing games. I'm not about raising money. I'm about giving you information that will help you make decisions in your life, and decisions that will assist you for the rest of your life based on sound biblical principles. And that's why I have Ron Fash with me as a guest today, because he's faced these things in his life. In effect, he hit the lottery. No, not the lottery like you buy a lottery ticket. Not like that. Ron was an entrepreneur that went into business, and in a business venture, he hit the lottery. He made it to the big time. He had a very successful business, and that business made him a lot of money. And he was able to retire at the age of 34. And that's something that very few people have the luxury to do. And that's why I've asked Ron to come on the show today, not only to talk about how God blessed him in his business venture and the decisions that he made that he knew and learned through the Word of God through his own pastor and his own church, but how those decisions have guided him the rest of his life until where now he is actually the director of Operation Grace World Missions. So, Ron, welcome to the show, and thank you for being the very first guest ever on the Flatline.
Well, thank you very much, Rick, and good morning.
Thank you for being here. Now, I've got some questions for you, and this is not a call-in show, so people will be able to write to us, though, and they can write to me on my website. And if they have a question for you, we'll be sure to forward that email to you, and you can handle it as you'd like to do so. But the first question that I want to ask you this morning on this radio show is, are you a believer in Jesus Christ, and why, if so, are you?
Yes, Rick, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Why am I? Because I recognize that the Bible is truth. There are so many things in the world that claim to be truth, and in today's society, there's a lot of people that take their own truth. Everybody thinks that they can have their own truth and that their truth doesn't have to be the same as everybody else's truth. And that's simply wrong. There are absolutes. There are things that are correct and there are things that are not correct. I believe, I am convinced, completely convinced, that the Word of God, the Holy Scripture, the Bible, is, in fact, truth. It is the word of the supreme creator of the universe, God. And so, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and I believe that he is the revelation of God. and that by coming to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that this is our purpose in life.
You know, Ron, a lot of times when I was growing up, I always would think about religion as like being a good luck charm. And sometimes people still have that concept today that if you get God on your side, you're going to have good luck. And sometimes people use God as a magic genie in the eight ball. You know what I'm talking about? How they'll pray and say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, please help me. This is not what you're talking about. You're talking about a real and vital relationship with a living God, aren't you?
That's absolutely correct. God is not a slot machine. You cannot use God in that form. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is like a relationship with any other person. And Jesus Christ is a person. He came to this earth as a human being, just like you and I are human beings, but he's also God.
Hmm.
And having a relationship with a person is a communion of thought. When you and I are sitting here talking right now, I listen to you and you listen to me. There's a two-way communication. Well, God has set up a mechanism for us to have two-way communication with him. We listen to his thoughts through the written word, through the Bible. That is his communication to us. And he listens to us through prayer. We can pray to God, and if we do it correctly, if we pray correctly, using the rules that he has established for prayer, then he also hears us.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about the Bible. Did you go to church all of your life? And where did you learn about the Bible? Because, like you just heard me say, I never went to church for the first 22 years of my life. I never even read the Bible. How did you come upon these biblical truths?
I was raised in a mainstream Protestant denomination. My mother still goes to that same church, but as I was coming up in that church, as I was growing up in that church, I felt that something was lacking. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what was missing, but I was not really satisfied with my experience there.
So it was just like organized religion, but...
It was an organized religion. As I say, it was a mainstream Protestant denomination. I was just not fulfilled there. I didn't know what was wrong, but I knew that it wasn't for me.
Have you ever heard the term ritual without reality is meaningless?
Absolutely. There was a lot of ritual there. There was a lot of, standing up and sitting down and reciting the same things over and over and over, week after week after week. And there was no real content there. I went to another church, also a mainstream Protestant denomination. Later, while I was in high school, I found the same experience there, that there was no real content. When I was in college, I was dating a young lady.
And college, after, where did you go to college?
Well, sitting here in Alabama, I'm not sure I should mention it, but I went to Texas A&M University.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
please don't hold that against me. But I went to Texas A&M University and was dating a young lady. After several months, she invited me to church, and I went with her. When I went into that church, there was a pastor that stood in the front of the room, and for one solid hour, he taught the Word of God from the Bible, and he was teaching it from the original languages of Greek and Hebrew.
Wow.
I immediately recognized that there was something special here, and that there was something that I'd been looking for all of my young adult life. And that was an accurate presentation of the Word of God without any ritual or things that were pretty mindless and meaningless. Ritual without reality, as you put it.
And when you found that, then it seemed to motivate you to stick. Do you still go to that church?
I do. I've been going to that church for 27 years. The young lady that invited me to go with her is now my wife.
Is that right?
Of 24 years.
Now, through your affiliation with your church, was that part of what your business was that you were successful in before you retired, or or did you learn concepts in the church that helped you in your business? I'm interested in that. A lot of people would like to be successful in the business world. And some of the success that you've had in the business world, has it been related to your belief in the Bible?
Absolutely. I'm not going to say that I was successful because of, well, let me back up a little bit. Yes, I would say that my success in business is directly related to some of the principles that I learned.
Such as what?
Well, some of the principles that my pastor taught me that he derived out of the Word of God are things such as, and you mentioned this earlier, that good decisions open options and bad decisions close options. So in the business world, when I was faced with making a decision, with needing to decide whether to go right or left on a particular issue, I would analyze whether that decision would open up future options for our business or whether that would close down options. And I consistently tried to apply that principle and make the decisions that would open future options.
Did you make your decisions based on Bible criteria?
Absolutely. Yes, and that includes a whole range of a system of values.
That's unusual in the business world in itself, isn't it?
Well, what happens when you study God's Word? God's Word builds within your soul a system, a structure of values, a frame of reference based on the teaching, on the truth of God's Word. Another principle that I applied quite often was that the extent to which you are oriented to reality is the extent to which you will succeed. And you mentioned earlier that arrogant people do not see themselves as they actually are. They see themselves as they think they are.
Correct.
And so they are not oriented to reality, and they are therefore not going to be successful. You have to be oriented to the reality of who you are as a person, in relationship to other people, in relationship to your Lord, to God.
So you wind up, people that wind up with an unrealistic self-image have unrealistic expectations.
They do. They have unrealistic expectations, and they end up making decisions based on their unrealistic assessment of the situation. And those decisions then are divorced from the reality of what's really going on. So if you are divorced from reality, if you don't understand what the situation is around you, if you are fooling yourself, if you are deluding yourself, you will not make good decisions. And so the quality of the decisions that you make in your life are directly related to your apprehension of truth. And where is truth? Truth is found in the Scriptures. So if you are able to take God's Word and incorporate it into your soul, you will become oriented to truth, and the quality of the decisions that you make in your life will improve.
Well, that's a phenomenal concept. I know when I was in high school, I was very arrogant, and I had this unrealistic self-image. I thought I was one thing when I really wasn't. I've since learned that arrogant people aren't very teachable because they are into self-justification. They justify why it's okay for them to do certain things. And when you do that, you get into lying to yourself or self-deception, and you know all about that, which leads to self-destruction eventually. And in the business world, I guess it can be the same thing. You made a statement to me earlier that money magnifies who you are. What did you mean by that?
Well, you know, I heard a saying one time that I think is interesting. Money can't buy you happiness, but it can help you be miserable in a better part of town. Now, money, I know a lot of successful people, and I know a lot of successful people that are miserable. Because money, what it does is it allows you, it gives you the freedom to be more of whatever you already were before you came into money. If you were a generous sort of person before you came into money, it allows you to give more money to different causes that you like. If you were prone to doing destructive things before you came into money, then the money gives you the freedom and the resources to be able to destroy yourself more rapidly. I was raised in very humble means. I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth, as the saying goes. And so I very much know what it means to have money, but I also know what it means not to have money. And I can tell you that so many people focus on money, but the reality of the matter is that happiness does not come from having money. Happiness comes from having a grounded life, from having a set of principles upon which you can live your life. And in the end, we're all going to be exactly the same. We're all going to be 6 feet under the ground.
6 feet down.
And you cannot take it with you, as the old saw, and that's absolutely true. The only things of eternal value are the Bible doctrine that you have in your soul, your relationship with God, your eternal life that God gives you that no one can ever take away, and the eternal rewards that God has for you in heaven that will be distributed at the judgment seat of Christ based on how you use the provisions that He has made for you in your life. And so we have to live our life in the light of eternity, and the values that we have in life have to be based on God's eternal values.
Thank you very much, Ron. That's phenomenal insight. Thank you so very much for taking time to be here and to share this information with us. I'd like to have you back sometime to talk a little bit more about Operation Grace World Missions and the mission organization that you direct, if you don't mind doing that at a later date.
It would be my pleasure.
Well, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to Ron Fash this morning. We haven't told you a lot about what he's done in the past, but sometimes those things have to remain a little private. But the concept that we want you to understand is, here's a good key thought for you today, is that unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they may go, whether they have money or whether they don't have money. Look at Hollywood and you can see that. Money is not the answer to happiness. And so it's a great concept. I've learned that in the Bible myself. When I believed in Jesus Christ and accepted Him as my Savior, I had no idea what God had in store for me. A simple boy from Birmingham growing up in the central city who dropped out of college and wasted a scholarship has spent the last 37 years of his life talking to teenagers all across America. I cannot believe that God would give me a phenomenal opportunity to do that when I was such a failure personally, and yet He did. And that's God's sense of humor. And sometimes I tell kids, if you don't think God has a sense of humor, look in the mirror. He made you, didn't He? And that's absolutely true. God has a great sense of humor. And God has a wonderful system that works in my life, and it works in Ron's life. It's a system based on His Word. And Ron and I both believe that a right thing has to be done in a right way, or it's totally wrong. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God. You can pray till you're blue in the face, but if you don't do it in the right way, your prayer is not going to get any higher than the ceiling. It's my prayer and my desire through the Flot Line, as we talk to you across these airways for the next few Sundays, that you will come to understand God's protocol plan and how that system works in your life and how you can access the Word of God in your life and how you can come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's my prayer that you'll be in touch with me. If you've enjoyed this show, email me. Simply email it to rick@bigrick.org. That's rick@bigrick.org. Our website is simply www.bigrick.org. Come by and visit us and send us an email and let me hear from you. We're going to attempt to have different guests over the next few weeks. I'm going to bring you some biblically accurate information that will assist you. And it is my prayer that through the Flot Line, you will come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible simply puts it this way: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
You've been listening to The Flot Line with host Rick Hughes. Listen every Sunday morning at 9 for The Flot Line with Rick Hughes on 960 WERC.